Let me say something to us. I am somebody who is very passionate. I'm passionate about life. I'm passionate about God. I'm passionate about my service to God. I can't honor man more than I honor God. I must honor God more than any man. I don't want us to come to church. Don't come as if somebody is forcing you. Don't come as if it's a problem that you came. Amen? Don't come as if God is owing you something. We owe him everything. Hallelujah. Amen. Before the world, we are going to receive our tithes from our members. Wisdom Assembly is a member-supporting church. So we support with our tithes. It's our obedience unto the Lord. So if today is your tithing Sunday, please rise up and come forward. The Bible says we should return. We'll return the tithe. We don't give it, we'll return it. Because it belongs to God. You don't give what belongs to somebody else. You return what belongs to somebody else. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I read from verse 1 while you are preparing your tithes. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and thou shalt call them to mind among all nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Somebody say amen. Amen. With all your heart and with all your soul. Amen. So let's return before God this morning with all our heart and with all our soul as we bring our tithes unto God. Hallelujah. Come forward. Glory be to Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We give you worship. And we lift it up to heaven. Say after me, say, Father, in obedience to your word, I am returning to you from the blessing you have blessed me, from the protection you have brought upon my life, from the increase you have brought into my life. This is my obedience to you, obedience to your word, obedience to your command. Lord, I trust you to meet my needs. Lord, I trust you to protect me, to protect my family from every form of calamity, from every form of evil, every devourer eating into our lives. They are rebuked this morning. Every emptiness of my life, of my home, you are filled by the presence of God and the glory of God today, in Jesus' name. By the reason of my tithe, the heavens are open unto me. Blessing are coming upon me. Increase are coming to my life. Joy and peace is my portion, because the word of God declares it so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give our tithes. We can go back to our seat. Hallelujah. I said to us last week that throughout this month, we'll be teaching on the subject of tithing. Understanding delivers you from fear. Understanding delivers you from the spirit of disobedience as well. So we started last week. We continue today. Next week, we will continue again throughout this month. And periodically, we are going to do this to remind ourselves, because that's what the Word of God says, to remind ourselves the instructions and the edicts of God. I'm going to take my text this morning from the book of Hebrews chapter 7. And I want to read from verse 1 through to verse 10. Hebrews 7 from verse 1 to 10. I'm reading from the King James Version. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. May the Lord bless his word. Lord, thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you bring this word alive in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to title this teaching, because it's a teaching. Title it today, A Test of Your Heart. A Test of Your Heart. A Test of My Heart. Tithes is a life connection between God and us. Tithe is a life connection between the one that obeys and God who commands it. The issue of tithe can be seen from Genesis through to the end of the book, Revelation. From Genesis 14, we see the story we read in Hebrews actually taking place. Genesis 14, 18 to 20. Abraham was returning from war with five kings. And what did he do? He was coming back victorious with the spoils. Just like we come back week in, week out, in going and in coming. I try to remind us this morning, especially in the workers' meeting, it's not about you. The earlier you realize it, the better for you and your family. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God. It's about the will of God. It's about the plan of God. It's about the purposes of God. Abraham returned with those spoils. He knew he didn't go by his own strength. He, one man with the army servants he trained in his house, and they overcame five nations. He rescued his cousin Lot, or his nephew Lot. And their God, in the form of Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? We see it here. He's called the King of Salem. Salem is a short form of Jerusalem. Jerusalem means what? The place of peace. There is only one king of peace. Hallelujah. There is no two king of peace. His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. He was from everlasting to everlasting. Jesus the same. When? Today and forevermore. He's the unchangeable changer. He will ever, forever be. He's the one that died. He rose up and is alive forevermore. He showed up in the form of Melchizedek, who is the high priest of the Most High God. Now, we don't need to make sacrifice of blood of bulls, rams, and goats, or what have you. Because Jesus Christ has shed his blood on our behalf once and for all. So, he's a priest continually in the presence of God. So, it was he who showed up to Abraham. And the Bible said, if you read the book of Genesis, time will fail us. He was carrying with him bread and wine. He gave Abraham communion, the body of Christ and the blood of Jesus. Abraham did what? Presented a tenth. Tithe is what? Ten. Presented him with a tithe of the proceeds of the war. Do you know when we go to work every week and week in, week out? It's a war. It's a battle. Some people lose the battle. When they go, they get pink slip. Right? When they go, they get challenges. But you go, you return. Each time my wife returns from work, it's a common thing. They are owing for today. I know we are not the only one who said that. Praise the Lord. They are already owing for today. How did they come to owe? Because of the grace of God upon our lives. Hallelujah. The Bible, like I said last week, the Bible made us understand that the tithe is holy. The tithe belongs to God. Abraham did not even need anybody to tell him. You notice that here, even before God told Moses to tell the children of Israel, it was already done 450 years before. Praise the Lord. Abraham did it. Isaac did it. Jacob did it. Even before God now made it a general rule that tell them. In the Garden of Eden, there were all kinds of trees. And God put Adam and Eve in charge as stewards of all that God owns. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, 15 and 17, 15 to 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. This every tree belongs to you. The Bible says he has freely given, richly given us what? All things to enjoy. He has what? Richly given us all things to enjoy. According to 1 Timothy 6:17. But this tree of the knowledge of good and evil is holy unto me. Don't touch this one. You are in control. You are in charge. You are so much in charge to the point that you can't touch this. But every other one, whatever you like to do with them, that's fine. But this one, my name alone is on it. I don't share this with anybody. You might not understand why, but that is just what I want. You know, sometimes you want to say, well, if I don't understand why God is telling me to do it, then I won't do it. Then you will never understand why you didn't make heaven. Praise the Lord. He says, this is holy unto me. I'm in control of what I have. I'm in control of what I earn. Now, let me specify this. You see, sometimes we kid ourselves. How? In this sense. Well, this is the job I do, and this is the salary I earn. So, surely I pay tithes on the salary I earn. But any other things that come by the side, you know what I'm trying to say? Anything else that come by the way, there's no tithe on that one. Nobody even knows that I do that. There's one that knows. God knows. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve had no limitation at all. Their only limitation was one. So think about it this way. You have 100 trees. God says, you are in charge of all the 100. But 10 of the 100, don't touch it. They belong to me. 90 is yours. How fair can that be? I was sharing with my assistant pastor and one of our ministers. One of my dear beloved son came to me and said, Pastor, I'm not bashful about saying this. I have a car. Bless it. I said, really? Come and bless it. Okay. I said, do you tithe? Said, actually, what I even earn is not enough. That if I remove the tithe, I can't pay any bills. But but you bought a car. And God must bless the car through the mouth of the priest. You see how dangerous we live our lives? Because we always have one reason. So you don't eat. You don't buy anything for yourself. You don't do anything. The problem of money. Are you ready for this? The problem of money is not in how much you earn. It's how you spend what you earn. That's the problem. Because if you are going to be like Mr. Jones, then you are going to go out of what you earn. Praise the Lord. God doesn't like us having debt. You know that? Huh? Because the borrower will always be what? Servant to the lender. God doesn't want us to bring ourselves under a taskmaster. And now we come back and say, well, God will understand. He doesn't understand disobedience of his commandment. As long as Adam and Eve obeyed God, they had life with God. Every cool of the evening, the presence of God will come. They sense it, they feel it, and they fellowship with God. But the day they did what God says don't do, that fellowship stopped. Let me translate it here. If you are not doing what God says you should do, you may lift up your hands and worship God and cry and have goose pimples. Hello? But you are not connecting with God. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible. And without holiness, no man shall see God. The day they did it, God just said, you know what? We can't belong together. But did Adam stop calling himself the Son of God? He didn't. Now, God dealt with him not personally anymore. He dealt with him generally. His dealing with him was a general dealing. One of the greatest loss of any child of God is not being able to hear God. If you have been hearing him before and then you don't hear him again, that's a big problem. Suddenly that life was cut off. He said, you shall surely die. They didn't fall down and die. Amen? But they were cut off from the life of God. Let me ask you a question. Did Adam and Eve make heaven? In your opinion? Hello? Did they make heaven? In your opinion? Huh? They didn't make heaven. Because there was nowhere written that they came back. You know why? They never repented. They kept on blaming one another. It was that. You think if Adam had said, Lord, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. We will never do it again. Do you think that God will not find a way to wipe out? They lost their stewardship. And they lost life with God. Now, somebody may say, but the tithe is under the law. It's not connected to grace. Watch this. Thou shalt not steal is under what? Is under what? Now you can steal under grace. Does that work? It doesn't work. Because it's under the law. Grace does not nullify it. Look at what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 5. I'm just trying to make you understand it. I read from verse 17 to 20. Matthew 5, 17 to 20. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Hello? This is Jesus speaking. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot, one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men to break the commandment, emphasis mine. He shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them like I am doing, emphasis mine, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, you know the funny thing about the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They tithe. They were consistent tithers. I'm going to show you later so that I don't jump the gun. Hallelujah. So whether under the law or under grace, the tithe is an everlasting law. Amen. It's holy unto God. I need to demonstrate something. My sister, come. Don't look back, it's you. Come with your bag. Come with your bag. Your bag. Uh-huh. You have valuables in this bag. Huh? You do? Okay, give it to me. Take. Can't give it to anybody you like. Sit down. Stand. When I took that bag, you were looking at me, right? But the moment I took the bag and I gave it to him, who were you looking at?
I was looking at him.
And?
I was wondering where he was taking the bag to.
This is the point. The Bible says in Matthew 6, 21, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will go. Hello? Stand. Where your treasure is, many people's heart are far from God. Why? Because they don't bring their treasure to where God is. Praise the Lord. Amen? Our treasures are Somewhere else, we put our treasure, what we call our treasure, here. And we put God there. So, our whole heart, forgetting, you have to love the Lord. With what? With all. How can you love God with all your heart when all your heart is following your treasure? That scripture did not say where your heart is, your treasure will follow. That's not it. It's where your treasure is. Hallelujah. Because we have labeled our treasure our life. Amen? Amen. Instead of bringing it where God is. He says, where rot, moth cannot eat it, and where it cannot be stolen. Even in your own control, it can still be stolen. Some of us have become victims of that before. A joker of a man came to me one day. We're on the other side of Jordan there. Our church was on the other side. He said, "Pastor, pray for me." I said, "What happened?" He said, "All the money I've been sending to Nigeria that my brother should keep and do something, he has spent all of it." I said, "Sir, do you tithe?" He said, "Actually, no." Ask me if I prayed for him. I didn't pray for him. This is where God says, "Ye have robbed me." Huh? God, I'm not going to obey you, but you have to bless me. That's what it means. Pray that my brother must vomit the money that is, forgetting that if God does not receive what is only unto him, Satan has every right to collect it whichever way. Please give Sister Hope her bag so that she doesn't faint out here. Thank you. Your heart follows your treasure. I love my wife with all my life, but I love Jesus more. But then when my wife is going out with our little children, I always give her an extra instruction. I'll say, "Honey, my eye is your eye. Eh? What does this mean? These children, be vigilant. No story." You understand what I'm trying to say? Because anywhere they go, my heart follows. Whether they go to school, wherever they are, how did you know that it's your child that is crying? Huh? Among many, if there are so many children crying, won't you know the voice of your child? You will know, that's my child right there. I watched something about the penguins. When mothers go to feed and to bring food back for their babies, you know, penguins, they hunt together in their millions. Huh? And each mother always find their own little child in the midst of that million by that cry. Their heart. You see, the heart has ears. The heart has eyes. In the same way with God. Second Chronicles 16, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. How many people are on the earth? More than 7 billion people. But his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Hearing thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. That will not be your portion. Amen. I say that will not be your portion. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I said it's a test. Why number 10? That's what I'm going to speak on to close. 10 represents test all through scriptures. How many plagues did God use to test the heart of Pharaoh? 10 plagues. God used it to test his obedience. How many commandments did God give us to test our hearts? 10 commandments. How many times was Jacob's wages changed to test his loyalty and his love? 10 times. Genesis 31. Genesis 31, 17 or 7. I'll read 6 and 7. He was talking to his wives here. And ye know that with all my heart, my power, I have served your father. And your father had deceived me and changed my wages. How many times? 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. He was tested 10 times. I know if it was you as a man, after the second and the third time, you say, ah, is it not because of a woman? And then what about Daniel? Daniel said, we can't eat of the king's table. It's an abomination to us. Test us for 10 days. Give us vegetables and water. Test us 10 days. Daniel chapter 1, verse 11 to 14. The book of Daniel, chapter 1. 11 to 14. And I'm going to read it. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuch had set over Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. Test us for 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them and tested them for 10 days. Hallelujah. 10 days. 10 is the number of test. If you flip into the New Testament, time will fail me to read Matthew 25, verse 1 to 5. How many virgins were tested? 10 virgins. 5 became wise. 5 became foolish. Hallelujah. If you flip your Bible to the end of the book, in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation how many days? 10 days. Test. Be thou faithful unto death. Ah, that's strong, brethren. And I will give thee a crown of life. Not only does God test us with our tithes, because it tries the condition of our heart. He also says, when you obey me, you too test me. In all of scripture, this is the only place you've heard me say this time and time again. This is the only place God says, test me. Prove me. I will prove your heart. You prove me. Malachi 3:10. Do you know that it's more dangerous to live in this dispensation than in the dispensation of Moses? You wonder why? I'll tell you. In the dispensation of Moses, the Ten Commandments clearly states it, and it's still valid today. Thou shalt not commit adultery, right? You have to commit adultery to be penalized. What did Jesus say? He says, even if you just what? Look and think it. Say you have committed it. Pardon my language. Wahala. Huh? So now Jesus is saying, it's not because you were caught doing it physically. You were thinking it. Since you have already done it. Hello? Thou shalt not covet until you covet and want to take something by force, before you become culpable of that sin. But Jesus said, if you just think it. That's the danger of the time we live in. Will God change his mind even after raising the bar in the New Testament? No, he doesn't change his mind. Hallelujah. What did I say? He doesn't change his mind. That's why he reminded us in Malachi 3:6. He says, for I am the Lord. I change not. God's principles don't change. God's persona don't change. His ways don't change. His expectations, they never change. What's in your heart? Capital One says, what's in your wallet? I am saying, by God this morning, what's in your heart towards God? What's in your heart in obedience to the will of God? Are we going to stand before God that day and said, well, you know, actually, I thought it was an Old Testament thing, so I didn't bother myself about it. I know Pastor Carl said it several times, but you know how pastors are, Lord. You know, they lie to people. You know what God will say? Yes, they may lie, Those who lie, they are in perdition, they are in hell. But my word doesn't lie. Did this show you in my word? Praise the Lord. I say to you again, we don't do this to make comments of anybody. We do this because it's the right thing to do. And we do this for the furtherance of the kingdom of God on earth. Hallelujah. I pray that beyond what I've spoken to you today, this truth will resonate in your heart. Those who need to repent will repent. Commit yourself to it. Commit yourself. Prove God. Tithing is not easy on anybody, especially those who are giving more. Hello? Those who are earning more compared to those who are earning less. Let me give you. You know, the more you earn, the more your problems are. Hello? The more your responsibilities are, the more people depend on you. Right? So, every penny also counts. You are earning $2,000 and you are struggling to pay $200. Think about the person who earned $200,000. How much check is he going to write? Eh? $20,000. Has your pen ever written that kind of, you know, before you write it, you will think, it's the bottom of your biro. Think of everything. Your family are depending on you. This person is depending on you. That person is depending on you. Your mortgage is higher than everybody. You have car notes to pay. Your children are going now to private school. They are doing this, they are doing that. By the time you look at everything, and you know what? Your deductions are higher than anybody else. But you say, I'm obeying God.